You would please take out your Bibles again and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. In fact, we're going to go back a little bit and go over what we went over last week. But we will be finishing chapter 3 and pushing forward into chapter 4 a bit. We will finish with chapter 4, verse 3, God willing. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 16. Moreover, I saw under the sun, in the place of judgment, wickedness was there. And in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the condition of the sons of men, God tests them, that they may see that they themselves are like animals. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over the animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth? So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Chapter 4, verse 1. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors, there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore, I praise the dead who were already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Amen. Let us pray. Our blessed God, we thank you for this word from the wise man. Help us to understand it. Help us to live it out in faith. Lord, might it please you to apply it to our lives. And Lord, might we do all of this, as always, for the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. So I've titled this sermon, The Vanity of Injustice. The Vanity of Injustice. And as I pondered that, I was immediately taken back to 1995. And for those of you who are in your 20s, you may wonder, why does he always bring up illustrations that are so old? Well, it's because I'm getting older. And these are things that come to my mind. But in this particular case, this trial that came to my mind was the trial of trials. There hasn't been one like this since, and there may never be one like this ever again. What trial do I refer to? The O.J. Simpson trial. You guys got it. The O.J. Simpson murder trial. He was acquitted of murder, ultimately, of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman. Remember, they were both horrifically murdered. The trial began on January 24th, 1995. It went for 8 long months. You'll remember, for those of you who were around, it was on seemingly every single day, all day long. And then at night, there were recaps. And even the talk shows talked about it all the time. 8 months later and 150 witnesses later, the jury found him not guilty. And then for those of you who watched that verdict be given, I guarantee you, you can remember exactly where you were, exactly what you were doing when you heard that not guilty verdict. I remember it well. Now, I'm not going to say whether or not I think he was guilty. I don't know. I have my suspicions. But there was a great outcry in our nation when that not guilty verdict came down and they said, it's unjust. Justice was not done in this trial. He got off. A murderer literally got away with murder. And so if that was your take on that trial, or if you've ever had that take on any other trial, you might be able to identify with what Solomon is going through. He looks out on the world and he sees injustice. And so we will pick up where we were last week with verse 16, and we will review that and then push forward in our text. So verse 16, he says, "Moreover, I saw under the sun, in the place of judgment, wickedness was there. And in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." And last week we looked at the fact that God ordains all that comes to pass. There is nothing outside of his control. He is not up in heaven wringing his hands, as it were, wondering, hoping that things won't happen a certain way, hoping that things will turn out a different way. No, he is the absolute sovereign over all of creation. But from our perspective, and from Solomon's perspective, we look out on all that comes to pass, and we see injustice. We see iniquity abounding. And sadly, in our nation, we don't have to look far to see that in great detail and in great degree. People nowadays are literally getting away with murder. And so that brings us to Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 15. There we read the following: You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Verse 16, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And that last statement there, the second great commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Earlier this week, I heard a definition for justice. Simply this: giving our neighbor what is deserved. Giving our neighbor what is deserved. Now, you can look at that a couple of different ways. Our neighbor is owed something from us as fellow neighbors, as our fellow man. We are to be honorable and put his needs where they should be. We are to treat him with respect. If we do not give that, that is unjust. And of course, if we do something to him that he does not deserve, that too is unjust. So justice defined simply would be giving our neighbor what is deserved. And we look at that and we say that's great. And we love to see when justice is meted out and the unjust get their due penalty, until it gets in the way of what we want to do. I mean, it's always great when we see that guy over there get his comeuppance, or we see her over there get what she deserves, but it's a little different when we get involved. But make no mistake, man recognizes that there is injustice in the land. We see that. We understand that. And that's because back in verse 11, Solomon tells us that God has put eternity in our hearts. And we looked at that last time. We said that's the imago Dei, the image of God on man. And that's what sets him apart from the rest of creation. That makes him unique and different from the animals. But, then we come to verse 18. Man is unique. He is an image bearer of God. But then Solomon says this, I said in my heart concerning the condition of the sons of men, God tests them that they may see that they themselves are like animals. Okay. Now, the evolutionists out there would praise this. See, we told you, man is just like the animals. But of course, we already made it clear that that's not the case. Man has eternity in his heart. He is different. He is unlike the animals in that he is an image bearer of God. So, how is it here now that he is like the animals? Well, this is a test. Solomon says, God tests them that they may see that they themselves are like animals. How so? Well, because when man acts unjustly, is he not acting like an animal? I mean, do animals care about justice? I have used our chickens as illustrations numerous times, and people have teased me about that, but they do make for great illustrations. We have never witnessed this with our chickens, but apparently it is a problem. You get a large number of hens together, and they will pick or peck on one, and until she starts to bleed. They'll get a wound started, and then they will peck and peck and peck and peck and peck, sometimes to the point where they finally kill that bird. Now, put that into the human realm. If we were to hit somebody upside the head, and then somebody else came along and hit him upside the head, and we all started hitting the poor guy upside the head to the point where he finally died, we would call that murder. That's unjust. That's horrible. That's vile. It's sin. But in the animal kingdom, there's no justice. And so Solomon is simply saying that if you don't act in a just way, you're like the animals. They don't act justly. They act purely on instinct. So if you live like an animal, then don't be surprised when you die like an animal. And so that takes us to verse 19. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to the animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over the animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to the dust. And so we have to be careful, because we know, obviously, that mankind doesn't simply return to the dust. He is a spiritual creature, and his soul goes before the Lord at death. But Solomon's looking purely at life here under the sun, life here on this earth. And he says, as the animal dies, so dies the man. And as the animal gets buried and disappears in the earth, so goes the man. Both man and animals died and are buried. There's a lesson here. And this causes Solomon to ask a question in verse 21. He says, who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth? And there's a number of different interpretations of this. There's different ways to render this. As some people have looked at this as though Solomon is just kind of shaking his shoulders, shrugging his shoulders and saying, hey, who knows? Who knows what happens to the spirit of man after death? Who knows if he goes up or if he goes down like the animal? Who knows? I don't think that's the case. It's certainly not consistent with what we've seen thus far and what we will see from Solomon. I think you can look at it differently. He's looking out at life under the sun, life here under Havel. And he's saying, who? Where? Where's the man? Where's the man that can say that the spirit of man goes upward to judgment and the animal goes down into the grave? Where on this earth is a man who considers his own injustice, and as a result, he is no better than the animals. That's the point. Now, we've seen puppies, little baby puppies with their mother, and so cute, and mom's feeding them, and they're all trying to get in close to mom to get some milk, and there's usually more puppies than there is mom, and the puppies will dive in there, and the one that came late is out of luck, so he'll dive in, and what does he do in the process? He kicks one of the puppies out. Well, that puppy isn't going to go without milk, so he dives in, kicks a couple of other puppies out. And so they fight, and they fight, and they fight for what's there. And now we look at that, and we go, oh, you know, mankind doesn't do that. I mean, that's animals. That's animalistic behavior. We don't do that. Well, have you ever seen a Target store on Black Friday as they open those doors and they let people in? It's actually worse. People have literally been trampled to death by their fellow shoppers as they were racing to get a cheap TV. What man can do is truly like the animals. And so Solomon says, as man lives like an animal, so man will die like an animal. And please note that this is a general statement. Obviously, we understand that this is not some blanket statement that says that every single man is equally unjust. Every single woman is exactly the same, and they all deserve the same degree of punishment. No, no, no. And he's not saying that. He's looking at life here under the sun, this life under Havel, where we are struggling, and there is seemingly no meaning to what he sees, and this injustice only makes it worse. So, if man simply dies like the animal, does that mean he escapes justice? What about the man that lives his whole life like an animal, and he dies like an animal? The animal, that's it for the animal. What about the man? Well, back to verse 21, he says, the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth. Now, the animals go into the earth. We know they go nowhere. The body's buried. They turn to dust. That's it. But man, he is a spiritual being. He goes upward before the judgment throne of Almighty God. There is justice. And that makes us feel good, doesn't it, when you see these people, they go into a building and they shoot up a lot of people, and before the cops can get them, they kill themselves, as if somehow they escaped. We've seen prisoners who committed horrific crimes. They go to trial. It gets strung out. They eventually are found guilty, and they're sentenced. And then, when no one's looking, they hang themselves in their cell. Why? Because they thought that was their way of escape. You're never going to get me. I'm getting out of here one way or another. Did they escape justice? Not hardly. They left this world and stepped straight into the judgment room of Almighty God. They will reap the consequences of their sins, and we can rest in that. All men receive justice when they die. And so I believe Solomon receives some comfort in that as well, because that takes us to verse 22. He says, so I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? So rest, relax. There will be justice. No one gets away with it. Everybody will be brought into justice. Nobody escapes. So the best thing for us to do now is to eat and enjoy life, to relax, to enjoy the good things that God gives us. But that still leaves the problem of injustice. And that takes us to chapter 4, verse 1. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors, there is power, but they, that is the oppressed, have no comforter. Therefore, I praise the dead who were already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. So, even though everyone will be judged one way or another, no one escapes, there is still oppression. There is still injustice here on this earth. And who's there to help? Again, Solomon looks out on the land, as it were, and he's looking for someone to step in, someone to help the oppressor, someone to lift up those who are under the thumb of an oppressor, and he finds no one. So, like Solomon, we look at this, and we're disgusted by it, aren't we? When we can all think of various sundry times in our lives when we saw someone get away with something, whether it was something small or something large, we think of the shoplifters in California when the police were defunded and greatly restricted in what they could do, and the laws were passed in such a way that shoplifters wouldn't be prosecuted. And of course, what did that do? They walked into pharmacies and stores, grocery stores, with big bags and started filling things up and just walked right out. That's unjust. And we're disgusted by that. It makes us sick. And of course, we take some peace in knowing that, you know what? They will be brought into justice either in this life or when they die. But of course, before we get too smug, before we wag the finger too much, we need to stop and we need to consider, what about you? What about me? Are we just? Have we always acted justly? Can we look back on our lives and say, not once, not ever, never? I can't say that. And I know you can't say that. So what's the solution for us? We're going to die just like the animals. Our bodies will be buried, but our spirits will go upward, where we will appear before the throne of Almighty God. There will be justice. What hope do we have? Well, 1 Peter 3:18 says this: For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Hallelujah. It's the whole reason we're gathered here tonight, right? We're here to celebrate that glorious truth. Because, like Solomon, we can look out into this world, we can see injustice, we can see oppression, and it makes us sick. We're image bearers of God, so we can see that, we can understand that. But as Christians, as those who have the Spirit of the Lord living within us, we are convicted of our own sins, and we know that we too are unjust. We have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. And we need Savior. And praise God, that Savior has been provided in the person of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. And so tonight, we're going to remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.